Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, there are more questions today about former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort's ties to Russia. The AP is reporting that documents show that 10 years ago, Manafort secretly worked for a Russian billionaire to promote the interests of President Putin, including, according to a confidential strategy plan, pledging to influence politics, business dealings, and news coverage inside the U.S. This morning, Senator Lindsey Graham called the disclosure very disturbing if true, basically taking money to stop the spread of democracy. In addition, yesterday, a Ukrainian lawmaker accused Manafort of trying to launder money from corrupt Ukrainian politicians who'd hired Manafort to lobby for them. Manafort has acknowledged that he worked in Ukraine. He's said that lawmaker is extorting him. But he's also previously said he never worked for Russian interests. Jeff Horowitz co-wrote the AP story out today. And Jeff, Manafort has released a statement about your piece. He says he did work with this oligarch and Putin confidant, Oleg Deripaska. Manafort is a consultant, but he says you unfairly cast his work for Deripaska as inappropriate and nefarious. Your response.
So this is the first time that Mr. Manafort has acknowledged sort of that his work was not limited to political consulting work in Ukraine, as he's previously discussed, that it sort of ventured into working on behalf of a Russian oligarch who's very close to Putin. And when Paul Manafort is saying that he was working for the business and personal interests of this oligarch, Oleg Deripaska, I think that's going to raise with a lot of people the question of sort of how Deripaska's personal interests might differ from those of the Kremlin, given that Deripaska is, according to the U.S. government cables that were leaked a number of years ago, is one of Putin's lead lieutenants in the business world, in the Russian business world, is a frequent companion of his on trips, is sort of very heavily indebted to the Russian government.
Well, you've seen a confidential strategy plan and other memos, but we understand that the contract that he signed, you report, a $10 million a year contract, began in 2006. When did it end?
So we're unclear as to the timeline for the work that was done under that contract, and in fact, even how much work was done under that contract. What we can say is that starting in 2004 or early 2005, Manafort's firm, Davis Manafort Incorporated, started working for Deripaska covertly in supporting the Montenegrin independence referendum, which put Montenegro ultimately in the more in the sphere of Russia. Mm. And that work sort of continued to Ukraine, and then by the time that we get to sort of the memo and the memos and the contract we've got, Paul Manafort is proposing sort of this broad sweeping plan to undermine opponents of the Kremlin throughout Eastern Europe.
Yeah. But again, that might have ended as soon as 2009. He is credited with kind of saving the Trump campaign, which was having a hard time putting on the convention, getting people to speak. He did. But also during that convention, as we know, a plank in the Republican platform was changed. The plank that pledged to aid the Ukrainians who had overthrown the Russian-backed president that Manafort admits to working for. That was a very open consulting job that he had. That plank was drawn down. So, you know, what are we seeing here? What kind of dots can be connected?
So I think, you know, there are questions about how the support for the Republican Party's support for lethal aid to the Ukrainian government got dropped, lethal weapons aid. But what our reporting does show is that Paul Manafort, one, wasn't forthright about his connections with Russian interests. Two, that he had very substantial connections in Moscow with fairly high-level people. Oleg Deripaska certainly would count as that. And three, that he was quite willing and, in fact, was even proposing to back the interests of the Kremlin in a number of different countries surreptitiously. But we don't know if any of that actually filtered into his work on Donald Trump's 2016
right.
campaign.
Look, there's the other storyline. Yesterday, the Ukrainian lawmaker Sergei Lyshenko held up the invoice that he claims shows that Paul Manafort tried to launder $750,000 money that came from those corrupt Ukrainian politicians who were deposed. We know that there was that so-called black ledger that was found after they fled the country. One line showed a payment to Paul Manafort for $750,000. $100,000. Manafort has said those claims by Lyshenko are baseless. But there's also the fact that Paul Manafort's daughter's cell phone was hacked, all of her texts taken. Some of the texts show her saying things like, this money that our family is getting is blood money. But also do seem to show that that lawmaker was trying to blackmail Paul Manafort for information he had. This gets very murky very fast.
It does.
But the point is, it doesn't look good.
No, and that's certainly true. I mean, this is, look, the world of Ukrainian politics, trying to identify who the good guys are, who's backed by whom, this is not an easy thing, and it's definitely not black and white. And this is not the sort of thing that you want somebody who had played a formative role in your presidential campaign to be dealing with even after the election.
That's Jeff Horowitz. He co-wrote the AP story out today about Paul Manafort's previously undisclosed contract with the Russian billionaire and Putin confidant. Jeff, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.